Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we're going to be looking at the gospel lesson which you had just previously heard read. And I know that probably some of you, as you were reading that, or at least hearing these words come forward to you, it really didn't sound a whole lot like gospel, did it? It sounded like a situation in which we were ready, in fact, by the very first line, where, excuse me, children, but it was going to be a hellfire and brimstone type of sermon, right? You know, when Jesus talks about from the very point that there is going to be fire, and that he's going to be baptized by a different baptism, that it really starts to look like a text that is all about doom and destruction. It talks about the idea of a father against son and son against father, about mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and of course the age-old thing, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. But yet, when we look at what we understand about gospel, we hear and we remember those words that were just simply about 7 months ago or 8 months ago. When we hear the purpose for Jesus coming to earth was all about bringing peace. In fact, we call Jesus the Prince of Peace. And yet, we take a look at when we talk about in the church being unified, being in unity with one another. But yet here he talks about division. How do we justify this? In fact, I think probably many, many people, when they start to read this text, have difficulty understanding really what does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus is going to come and bring division? Well, that's what I hope to kind of explain it for you this morning. What we're going to talk about is this idea, because what we first of all have to do is we have to take care of a problem that seems to happen in this world all the time. And in fact, many times if you have a question and you come to me, I will ask you the question, so what does that mean? The good Lutheran question, so what does it mean? In other words, what we have to do is look at how these things are being defined. In the world today, they certainly have a way of defining things, don't they? In fact, they have a way of redefining things in a lot of times. We take a look at it just from the simple fact of marriage. For thousands and thousands of years, the word marriage or its counterparts have been used to talk about one man and one woman coming together and living and making a family. It's something that was only reserved for those two. But yet, it seems in the past couple of years that this world has been able to redefine that word and make it something that it hasn't been for really the existence of this world. It's not only with that. There are many different things where the world tries to redefine. In fact, the world tries to redefine us as Christians, doesn't it? It tries to redefine what our values are and the things that we should hold on to. And of course, when we do not live up to the way that the world says that we should be, then we're intolerant, right? When we speak the truth, when we share the values of Jesus Christ and those commands that he's given to us, we're all of a sudden the ones that are intolerant. We don't tolerate other people. Or they say, well, your God is certainly says that he's a loving God, but how come you don't love? You have to love people enough to just simply accept them the way that they are. The problem with that is that while we do love people, and we love those people enough that we want to speak the truth to them, you see, it really all starts with the baptism of Jesus. For Jesus, there were really two baptisms that he had to endure. First one is the one that we all hold on to, and that's where he instituted those waters, that holy flood, that washing away of our sins. It was there that we see Jesus and the Heavenly Father speaking down from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him. And it's those same waters that today, that each one of us sitting here, that we can say with all boldness and confidence that we are
children of God.
That's right. Children of God. That one was Sir Patrick, by the way. But it's there that we see that we are children of God, and that it's in that that there is a unity that goes beyond what this world even understands. That we have been claimed as God's children, which makes the second baptism of Jesus, and I'm not talking about a heresy or anything like this, because, oh, Pastor, we didn't see this, but it's the baptism which he speaks about in this. The baptism which he had, the baptism of fire, the one which meant that he would go to the cross. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross so that he could make us his children and proudly be called his children. You see, the baptism I'm talking about is the baptism by which Jesus went and he died and he suffered. He was scorned in that. Some of the things that we have to endure today as his people. Hearing those words of tolerance or being unloving people. Oh, certainly you can love this person that's sinful. Certainly you can look beyond this sin. Well, the problem with that is that Jesus says that sin is an evil thing. Sin is something that we should not have in our hearts. In fact, sin is something that oftentimes we don't even understand fully. Even at our ages, even as many times as we sit in the church, how many times do we really understand that, yes, we are all murderers, we are all thieves, we are all those things. In fact, that's why we've got it printed up there, the Ten Commandments up there. That's why we put it in the back. Last night I did a sermon over at St. John's, and I asked them the question that I've asked you a number of times. How many of us are murderers? I don't see any hands up. How many of us are? And none of them put their hands up. And then I looked at them and said, have you read the Ten Commandments? Have you read the Fifth Commandment? Do you not understand that it says, thou shalt not kill? This is what it means. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help him in every bodily need. Do we always help our neighbor in every bodily need? And then if you want to go on beyond that, we hear the words of St. Paul when he tells us this. If you are angry at a brother, you are guilty of murder. If you are angry at a brother, you're guilty of murder. Well, for all of you that are married, I guarantee you've already broke it many times. For those who have children, there's been a few times in which you have probably broken it as well. But see, that's the reality of our lives as God's people, is we do fall short. We do sin. But praise be to God, that's why we see that as being a children of God, redeemed children of God, those have been blessed with that. That we've seen what Jesus did on the cross. And that it's there on the cross that he did both two things. One, he unified his people around himself. And secondly, he divided the world from us. Because the world has a different way of looking at things. The world has a way, they do it by intimidation. In fact, it reminds me about an old Peanuts cartoon show. Maybe you remember it. It was the one where Linus was sitting in and he was watching TV. And while he was watching TV, you know Lucy, she comes in and she decides that she wants the TV. And so he goes up to Linus and he says, I require the TV now. And Linus says, well, no, I'm watching it. And she says, but I need the TV. And he says, give me a reason why you need the TV. And she says, of course, I'll give you five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Isn't that the way the world does it? If we don't conform to their idea of love, or we don't conform to their idea of what should be right and wrong, they come up and they intimidate us. They call us intolerant. You're intolerant because you don't accept this my way. Well, you don't believe in same-sex marriage. You're intolerant. You just don't love. You're supposed to be a Christian, don't you? You see, it's that way that they try to intimidate us. The same way Lucy tried to intimidate Linus. And by the way, he did give her the TV. But that's the thing about it is that's what we have to realize. And that's really what Jesus is saying. Is it's not the fact that what he came to do is to create wars and those type of things. But what he did was he comes to tell us that what we have to do as Christians is listen to the truth. Realize what the truth is, not because we want to see those people as we've seen some Christians do, say that you deserve what you get and those type of things, but that they stand up. That they stand up and they say out of Christian love, this is a sin. Repent and believe the gospel. You see, our love really comes down to the fact that we want them to realize their sin so that they may repent of that and go before Jesus. So that they too may be unified in Jesus. And you see, that's really what this is all about. It's all about being unified in Jesus Christ. Following Him and His commands and His truth, which is the only truth because it's the truth of the Creator. What's right and what's wrong? The way that we should treat and live with one another. In fact, it's once we're in Jesus Christ, then, and it's only then that we hear those words that bring it together. Blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed is the one. Because the true peacemaker is the one who points to Jesus Christ. Blessed are all those. And you see, that's really what this epistle lesson that we have, the Hebrew writer wants us to understand. Because he wants us to do exactly what we heard at the end of that. And that's to endure the race. To make it through. And God knows it's difficult. He knows that we struggle and He knows that there are going to be plenty of Lucys out there putting their fist in our face. And so He gives us that great cloud of witnesses. From Noah to Moses to Joseph to Isaac. All of those to the apostles. He gives us those witnesses to help us to live and to continue to realize what's important, where the truth lies. They are the ones that continue to point to Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do as God's people is to continue looking at the Son. It's amazing what unity comes out of the Son. Doesn't mean that we're going to agree on everything. Doesn't mean that we're going to not have struggles with one another. But what it means, though, is that we're able to live and to love and to forgive. It is amazing when you see something in unison. But the real unison comes by looking at the Son. I don't know if any of you, does anybody here grow sunflowers? What do sunflowers do? They follow the sun. Did you know that? They follow the sun. From the time in the morning when the sun rises, that the head of that sunflower will follow that sun all day long until that sun sets. But you want to know something that you may not know? That sunflower continues to follow the sun even at night. It will make a complete 360-degree turn with the sun. Even though they can't see it, even though it's on the other side of the earth, that sunflower will follow that. And can you imagine? Could you imagine just sitting there and watching just a handful of those? But there are areas of this country where you can go and there are fields and there's thousands and thousands of that. You see, that really shows the unison. Watching those sunflowers in unison follow the sun. You see, that really needs to be us, isn't it? just like those. And that's what the unity he talks about here. That's the unity that Jesus Christ speaks to us about, is that we, when we follow the Son, like those sunflowers, that we will all be in unison. There was a picture that I had seen of these things following. There were thousands of these sunflowers out there, and they were all making the same circle. That should be us. That should be us. That's what it means to be children of God. Is that what we do is we don't follow the things of this world, but we follow the Son. And so for our lives, when we go out into that world, that we should continue to follow the Son. And of course, we do that here by gaining lives in Christ and growing lives in Christ. In other words, it means by going out and speaking the words of Jesus' death and resurrection, about speaking the words of the cross. And then it's about teaching people, learning ourselves about Jesus Christ, about His love for us and what that means for us. It means for the world by telling them what God's love is all about. You see, that's really what this is about. So as we go out into the world, as we experience the all the Lucys that are out there, let us remember this great cloud of witnesses that God has set before us. Let us remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross to buy our salvation, to purchase us away from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And let us do exactly like, let us be sunflowers. Let us follow the Son. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focus on the Son, Jesus Christ Himself. Amen.